We will build up this thing like this. First of all, whenever someone is bored, you can go out. Okay? You don't have to stay because of me. I see there are a lot of openings over here. You can just disappear. It's okay. You don't have to stay. And that gives the freedom that we can go on a little bit. I take it on for granted from Parabais, I don't see him now. That we are up here. Yeah. So that we are able to go on, because it's a topic which whenever you are interested, we have to discuss certain things. That's first. Second, things will be open. Open means that you can ask questions. And not that I have a big sermon prepared about chinuch and unbelievable and no, I will speak a little bit, perhaps you have a question, you can ask your question. That's legitimate. But you have to understand that I don't know the answer. There could be, and I don't know the answer, I don't know all the answers. I don't know the answers always. So it could be I tell you I don't know. It could be I tell you I'll have to think. But I will also answer. And that's your risk. Yeah? It's a risky thing to ask like the questions. Because you get an answer when you get an answer, and that's once in a while not so convenient. But I'll try to be eloquent with you. Yeah? I don't try to verschmier, you call that in English, you don't try to make it nice or things like this. I try to answer the things the way they are, according to my opinion. And whatever I will tell you, this is my opinion. I don't like that I'm coming, even though perhaps you expect that I'm coming with big things I heard from big rabbis, and then I close your mind and mouth, because you have nothing to say. What would you want to quarrel with big rabbis? No, you can't quarrel with me. That's okay. So I am behind what I'm saying, and you can just have a question, and you see the guy which speaks, and you can discuss that with him. I don't come with quotations and say, that's the way you have to do, so what do you want to do? Then you can't ask any questions anymore, you know? That's gone. That's not so healthy. I think we have to have a discussion, because chinuch is a thing which is very much an actual thing happening now, and not what you did once. That doesn't help you. You have to do it now. Okay? That's the... those are the rules of the evening. And again, whenever you want to go, you can go. The first one who wants to leave, that's me, but I can't. So what shall I do? So that's the first. Okay? Now, we have first to think together, why do we educate all together? Why? Why do we educate? To what end do we educate? Let's say education. Not education to mitzvahs, that's one thing, but education. When you look at children, I don't know over here in South Africa how the way it goes, but for example, you go to Brazil, you have children which survive very dangerous environments, and they are very adapted to them, and when you would be put there, you would die in a moment, you know? You wouldn't survive. So they are better educated than you, and no one educated them. Why don't we leave our children in the street, you know? And they will survive. And perhaps they will even survive better than you. Because the street and the society and the tensions of the society are very much educating. Huh? So why do you have to make education? I want to educate them. Grow up in the jungle, you know. They'll grow. Your children will grow. And they'll grow and they'll survive. Why do you have to educate? Did you ask yourself once a question? That has to be asked first. Why do you educate altogether? So you will survive without education too. At first, yeah? Without now, not going into all different kinds of other things. No, but in a very basic, I speak about small children, yeah? Smaller children, not the problems of older children, which are drugs or things like this. I don't think that's the issue. You told me young couples, OK? Okay, so that's not the issue. But simple survivor, you know, survive, being able to survive. Why do you have to educate? What do you educate for? What do you educate for? Hmm? Why? Okay, so that's first we have to understand. We have to think, and that when you think about that, that creates a healthy balance between letting a child do what it does without interfering, and when to interfere. Because once in a while, you educate too much. Okay? You educate too much. You don't believe it at all in the natural growth of a child. You think you have to educate about everything, and then it's very wrong. Then your fingers are too much into the picture, and then you will destroy the natural development of the child. Because there is a lot of areas and a lot of times, children are growing up nicely without the interfering of the parents. Okay, so let's think about that first. Where is the main point where we have to educate? What is that thing we have to educate for? Okay, so according to my opinion, the first thing of education which you have to try to give over is, you call that in a certain way culture. Culture means that there are certain things you do in a certain way and certain things you don't do in a certain way. Okay? And you want to educate to that. That's a culture. There you have to educate. Children which are growing up in the jungle, they are very flexible and very intelligent how to come along with life. But they are not cultured. They have no culture. Everything goes. When we educate our children, we want to give them over some culture, or you can call that heritage, or Yiddishkeit, or you call it however you want. But it has to be that first we have to think, how do we educate for culture? That the child has a certain structure in his life, which is not only reacting to the problems which are occurring. That's the difference between a jungle and an educated child. That's right? Someone who grows up in the jungle, he is very much able to react to the challenges which are there. But we don't want our children only reacting in the right way. We want them acting in the right way. Yeah? That's called culture. You do it in a certain way. How do you do that? Yeah? So first, the first thing which you have to have clear, the main point in chinuch, in that area, is that you have to be very, very choosy and very, very much not going for too many things. Because you have to understand that the main point in educating your children about a culture are the kriyas hanefesh. There are those principles which are there, not the specific expression. I want to make that clear. For example, I want to educate my child that he should be a person which is able to hold in their desires and not being always straight, not be able to push off satisfaction or something like this, yeah? That's what you call that, yeah? No, that he has a tolerance that he doesn't need fulfill all his at once. So that's a thing you have to educate your children. You have to educate them. You can't wait only that reality should teach them that. You have to educate them that. But you have to be very choosy where to do it. Because you could overdo that. Yeah? You could overdo this. And you have to think, where do I give over this message to the child that not everything he wants he can have immediately. When you overdo that thing, your child will be frustrated. Your child will be memurmal. When you do it too little, your child will not be able to suffer that the needs are not met. Yeah? But you have to be very choosy where to do that. Yeah? So that is But then you are educating your child to a certain quality in life, which a child afterwards is able to grow with that. And when the child gets older, it's not only that the sukarya it doesn't have to have, then it can have push off the satisfaction of something bigger. But you planted the seed in the child that that is what's going on with him, that he's able to do that. Okay? But now be careful where to do that. Not everywhere, and not in all the, not in all the cases. And now comes the second point in education by that. That a lot of times, when you educate, and you want to educate for the right thing, you do it together with that, that you put in your own desires how the child has to look like. And that can be very wrong. Because then you can demand from the children that they have to be quiet and they have to be not demanding, in only because you are uncomfortable with that, not because the benefit of the child. You see? So then education is not there. Then that is what you want. But if you don't think about the child, you think about how you present yourself in front of others, how others perceive you, how is your image, and that your child is not obligated to that thing. Yeah? It's not. I want to educate him, but it's not, I have to think about where he is educated, and not where he fulfills my dreams about being a representative of a perfect family. Clear? So that is the first point we have to think about. That we have to come to terms, how can we educate our children to certain things, but without bringing ourselves too much into the picture. So those are very practical things, you know. When you have children, I see that over here in South Africa, they invite each other. That it's kimat not shayer with all these walls around the houses. It's kimat not shayer not to have an eruv. That's what I learn eruv now. So it's kimat not shayer not to have an eruv over in Johannesburg, because that's really, it's like everything walls, you know. So for sure you have an eruv. So when you have an eruv, even from people they can carry, they push the carriage and you go to the neighbor for a meal, and you go to the neighbor for a meal, and they're very nice and very polite, South African, and then suddenly your child, wah! And then your perception of yourself begins to suffer, you know? You want to have a perfect family, you want to be everything quiet, and the child's not really doing what you want. Is that the right place to educate? How do you educate for that? How do you handle this situation? I think we speak about education of small children, but I think those are issues which are very much there. And then you are thinking, and this is a very dangerous approach according to my opinion, then you are thinking, I give out order, and now the child is obligated to follow my order because kibud av ohim. Don't educate your children on certain things because of kibud av ohim. That's a general rule. Don't do that. Because when you do that, this is the open door that you make your own preferences enter and obligate your children because you want it. You understand? That's the open door. And a lot of parents, they think, I tell him what to do, and now he has to follow the rules, keep it away. But now you mix up two issues. The one is you have to educate him for keep it away, gesundliche Reis. But the other one is you have to educate him that he should be able to be frustrated without screaming. That has nothing to do with keep it away. And now you mix up two issues. And the mixing of two issues is very dangerous. Because when you deal with a kibud av ohim, you deal with a non-flexible situation. You can't say, okay, you have to do it because kibud av ohim, but now today we'll have no kibud av ohim. You can't do that. You see? So by your mentioning or thinking about kibud av ohim by your young children, this is a very dangerous place to go to, because there you can't get off that horse. You can't get off it. Off. So you use that only in very rare circumstances. Because the moment you use it, you can't get off. For example, I have a child which wants to sit on the table. That's not such a good idea, I think so. But from the other side, I never saw a 20-year-old boy sitting on the table. You saw it once? So it looks like that wears off by itself. I never saw, in my life, never saw a 20-year-old sitting in the middle of the table and eating the food like this. I don't even see that. Now, let's say, that's not so nice, but let's say your child does it. No, for sure it shouldn't do it. But let's say he does it. Is it kedai to invest koiches to take him off that or not? But you have to understand, when you are investing koiches and you demand that in a very strong way, then you entered a realm where you can't get off. Because now you demand it. It's not, you don't care about the child, you care about your own demand. Huh? And now it could be that this demand doesn't have to be posed at all, because this will wear off, will be okay, you know? He will get off that. And you can't say anything. So that is an illustration, which that is an illustration only to show you not everything which is not good on the sake of the child you have to enter the picture. Not everything. You have to be very choosy. Here what is?
Should a parent that's thirsty not ask the child for a glass of water? Is it only when he's not thirsty that he asks the child for a glass of water?
No. Okay. So I don't know how that works by you. Look, this perhaps I'm speaking now. Now I have to answer this question, but that was the question. Please keep it our way. Yeah, clear. So okay, I speak to you. So this is your choice that I speak to you. I have a problem with that whole sugya. And I explained that to you, perhaps that's interesting for you. I have a problem with the sugya of kibud avoy. My children are very much mechabed me, let's say. Yeah? But I was not really putting emphasis on that, that bringing me water or bringing me things, you know. I was much more the servant of my children, you know. We don't have invisible people the way you have in South Africa. You have a lot of them, you know. And we don't have that there. So I was the invisible person for all the children, and I worked, my wife worked. It was perhaps a little bit exaggerated, but there was a fear by me personally, because keeping up my business, perhaps you don't know that, but I can be very powerful by demanding, or when I have an opinion, and I really have an opinion on that, I really want something to be, then it's not so such a good idea to be in my Daladamas. That's not such a good idea then. Yeah? And I was very much afraid of that. My children growing up with a father which could be overpowering. So I very much put that off. But this didn't create a diminishing of kibud avoyim at all. Not at all. Not everything. You can come here in front of me also, wherever you are. So that didn't create what you would expect, that my children would be diminishing my covers or things like this. But it didn't, wasn't like this. You have to be very careful. That in all these things, demanding for the children something that is not so easy. I don't know whether you once pictured by yourself what would be that you are standing in front of a person which is, let's say, 7 meters high, 7 meters, and he can lift you up and throw you in the air, and you lost ground under the feet, you know, and you are in the air, and he laughs with you, and you are just not enjoying that, but he enjoys that, and he throws you up, and then you have to relate to such a person. This wouldn't be such a pleasant feeling, you know. your child faces that thing, you know? Because you are like 3-4 times bigger than him, you know? And he's a giant in front of him. And you have to understand that his demand and the entering the picture of the child, of you as an adult, is a very powerful thing. And you have to be careful not to overdo that. You have to be very careful. Yeah? And especially when you want to educate the child about the certain things, you have to very much listen and thinking, where is that koyach there in the world of the child? So, you see, that is the paradigm shift when you want to say that like this. First of all, when we want to educate, we have to leave our world and we have to appreciate, meant feeling the world of the child. And that is leaving this kibbutz avoim business. Because when you have a kibbutz avoim business, that means I am leaving my needs, like water, I am leaving my world, that's how people perceive me, I am leaving my things, and the children have to adjust to my world. And they want to educate them to my world. And then education is very difficult, because I treat them with demands which are not much into them, they are not fitting them. I have first and foremost to understand that the child lives in a world, and it's not mine. And the educational thing of the child is not educational because it will fulfill my demands. It's educational because he needs it, because he needs culture. He needs action. He needs certain rules in his life, but not because of me, because of him. And so the first step in education, that's what I wanted to bring out with that. The first step is that I am not mixing up these two worlds. Because that is, in general, that's the thing you do first. I am not the person which thinks, no, you have to validate. There is a difference between validating a thing and holding it high and recognizing. First, we have to recognize in a rich way the world the child is in. That's a big word. A lot of times you yourself forgot the way you were when you were young. That's most probably true. And even when you have children which went through that age, and you have children which are in different ages, but it's always a new thing that you try to understand what is the world of the child, because every single child is different. You know, you have children which are more calm, you have children which are more energetic, you have children which are more intimidated, you have children which are more fragile, and there are different children, and you have to do that. I myself, I can tell you that, can I know, I have 10 children, and they're educated. I think that by one or two, I didn't see 100% what is the world of the child. It's because one strength was very strong, and I didn't see that underneath this strength there was a very fragile, a very insecure and fragile personality. I didn't see that. I saw the strength. Yeah? And then I treated the child with the strength, and that was wrong. That was wrong. It was a major wrong. It didn't make like this, but it was wrong. It was wrong. Because I regret that. I regret that because I wasn't, perhaps once in a while it's a question of time, and 10 children, that's not nishkengelech, you know, that's a whole thing, you know. But once in a while, you are not judging right. And you don't see the world of the child. You simply don't see that. And this is a question of your own midas. It's a self-developing thing. You grow yourself when you educate, because you have to overcome your own judgment and your own preferences, and you have to think about what is that child about, you know? What does he want? Where is his strength? Where is his weakness? What is that neshoma made of, you know? And they are not always the same. Not all of them are the same. Yeah? Children which are highly creative, but like dreaming, you know, and that's not my type, and that was difficult for me, and I had to go into that world. That was a whole world work. It took years and years to understand this world. There were other children which were much closer to me, and then it was much easier. And then inequality in chinuch, in education, kicks in, that you have children which you have more an affinity to them, the more you have, it's easier for you to understand the world of the child, the other children, which is more difficult, but you have to do the work. And that's why you are married, you are two people, and it's a very fruitful thing to discuss that. And most of the times when you see, you know, you have a child and you see, you have a certain non-comfortable with a child, and then, but then your wife or your husband feels more comfortable with that child. And then you say, okay, so this is a child of... No, it's not that is a child of the father, and that's a child of the mother, and then you make this haluke. This is a place where you have to work together, and each of your of the couple has to try to understand what's going on with that child in order to educate them according to his world. Okay? So now, that's what I wanted. The first thing is, I have to educate my children, not because of survival only. You know, because survival, they will do it when I throw them out, and they'll survive that. Yeah, okay. But if I throw them out into the street, and they will survive it, they will survive better than you. Yeah. People which grow up in the jungle, they are much more versatile in surviving very difficult situations. Street smartness is not made at home. Yeah, it's not. You are street smart. That's not chinuch. That's not what we want. You have to let him do that because that's a part of his own growth. But your chinuch is not street smart. Your chinuch is that you try to give over certain principles and certain way of behavior which are growing with a child. But that has to be a thing which fits the child. Yeah? Which fits the child. Yeah, okay? So then... Now, second, in that realm, that is the first topic I want to speak about, and then you can ask questions. I know that this is a little bit abstract and things like that, but it's not too much abstract. I think it's a very, when you have children, you very much see that that's what happens to you, because a lot of times you are mixing up these two worlds, and you think with your preferences, you think about what's going on by them. Yeah? Okay? Yeah?
Is it enough just to recognize what's your world and what's the child's world? Or do you have to be able to set aside your world? What if you can't set aside your own needs in the interaction?
This is the work on Midas, I think. This is the work on Midas that you have to, what more, put your own world aside. Every educator has to try to do that. It could be you can't do it entirely, but again, I don't... You have to understand that the education for Kibbutz Avraham is the most tricky thing. Because you be'etzem don't understand Kibbutz Avraham from the child side. There, your own needs immediately are there, and then you destroy the thing. I'm clear? Yeah? Kibbutz Avraham is a need for the child. But you have to understand it, how the child works, you know? I will speak about that. But then, and then you try to, we'll speak about that, but soon, 1 minute. Now, when you are now having this thing, and you want to give over some heritage or some principles, you have to be picky. That means you can't overload that child. That you want to educate him into everything, you know, being, when you have a boy, being a masmit, and being a mevatel, and being a savlan, and being a what, and you take all the sadiqam and boom on that child, and okay, I think about this world, but I have to think about this world with all these things as a baggage, and you put it on him. That's not education. And it's not only not education, it's not your education. Because when you educate your child, your preferences have to come out. Not what you read in books, but what you really want. Because only that will work. Your preferences. For example, by me, certain preferences by me at home, there were only a few of them. and they were not halacha bound. That was not the point. But the point was much more midas, yeah? Because halacha, they are in a frum community and they are in a frum home, halacha they'll keep. That's not the ikaron. The ikaron was much more midas, you know? Not, for example, by Biatom, that was the ikaron, according to the children, that you will not diminishing another one. I know that a lot of people, when they have son, when they have ten children or something like this, they educate the children with tacharut. You know what the tacharut is? Competition. Who is the first? I need to hear Sadai. Who is the first sitting next to the table? Who will be the first to be quiet? I think like this. I never ever did something like this. And there's a very reason for that, because I thought about the world of the children, that it's not a competition. It's a feeling that the other one is lower than me. So you educate with that. You educate your children for this. And this was also by us. I think one of our children once made a comment lowering a brother or a sister, and then that child remembers that till today. That was a disaster. You do not do that. You don't do it. But it was a question of understanding. I had to understand, where is that? I had children which were very mutzlach and others not. It's not that I don't tell them, you are great. I tell them, you are great. But there was no comparison of things like this. That was not the tool of education. Because I didn't want them that they should go and living a life that they always think that the other one is lower or higher than me. That is unproductive. I didn't want that. That was an ikaron by me. Others are opposite way than me, and they are good families. You can have a great family with educating, with tacharut, with competition. You can do that. And I know families who did that. And I don't tell you when you will make a competition at home, one of your children will be under the wheels and will be kaput. I don't tell you, I don't know. Could be not. I don't know it. But only that was a thing which is very much by me, because I never was competitive. When I was a child and we went for a tule up the hill, you know, up the mountain, Switzerland, you know, go up the mountain, I was never ever going to a mountain till the end. Never ever. I was standing 20 meters below the peak and I said, okay, sei gesund, and I went down. It's not only because on the peaks in the Swiss mountains there's always a Stiebe Erev, there's always a Christian thing there on the top that they have that, you know. It's not because of that. It's because I wasn't interested to do that till the end, you know. That wasn't the point. I never did that. I wasn't good at making tests and things like this. It was boring for me. I didn't do that. So by me personally, being under competition, that's a thing I don't like. But it's a personal thing. So but this was a very strong thing. So you have to understand, for example, I had a boy, which was always like this. I had a boy, which is the oldest boy. He never learned at school, really. Even primary school, he didn't really learn. There was something there he didn't learn. I don't know why, but he didn't learn really. So he, every single day, came home in the afternoon. He wasn't there. And the second boy was in the same school. No, Chas Shalom, you can't put in the same school. Everyone tells me, you can't put all the children in the same school. It will create competition. And you have one boy which is more difficult. And he will be in a disaster. And people told me, you can't do that. And then afterwards in the yeshiva, all of those, went in other yeshiva. Then afterwards, but all the three others, they went into the same yeshiva. The same yeshiva Ktane, in the same yeshiva Gdoile. And they were together in the yeshiva. You can't do that, it will be not healthy. No, it was healthy. They are good friends and they hold one of the other. And the next boy is extremely matzliach in learning. Extremely. He had only 100. And once, in Kita Vov, when he was in the 6th grade, so my wife told him, you know that your older brother never is not really learning. He never is there in the afternoon. And then the son said, Ma tomeret? Anachon lo samti lev. That's called educating without competition. Because when there would be a ruach of competition at home, then he would very really recognize that he is a big masmit and the other one doesn't work. No, that wasn't the issue. That was not the issue. Yeah, it's a very good boy and very much hold of him, and he's the center of the family, and he, everyone holds of him. But he never learned, for so what? But that was an outcome of not competition. But that is a personal thing by me. But then I emphasize it since they are young. No ridiculing, no making after. When someone has a difficulty, once in a while we have little children and they have a difficulty to find the words, you know, for speaking. And then an older brother once in a while makes fun of the younger. That's the last time you made fun of anyone, you know. That doesn't go over. So that was a thing which was very much a ikaron. By me at home, you can have very different ikonot. You can have things which are very different by you. But that is what you have to educate for according to the world of children. Yeah, was it?
How do you punish a child in that case when they do something that is against your values?
Look, okay. You don't have to make... you don't have to hit. This will be another issue just soon. I can't go into that now. You have to learn how to come over firm. Not being afraid, but firm, clear. That's not. That's firmness. That gives over the message. There's nothing to discuss, you know. No, we don't do that. But you don't say, no, we don't do that. And then you are afraid, perhaps now he'll scream. Perhaps now he'll cry. Perhaps now it will be a disaster. No, I'm not afraid. You can now walk up the wall straight. But we don't do that. Clear? So perhaps my face, when I am sincere, so my face is a little bit scary. That could help for that, you know. But it was very much that the firmness does it. Yeah, firm, confident with yourself. When you're confident with yourself and you say that in a very confident way, that goes over. Most of the parents which have problems with giving over a message that is not impossible, it's not the problem of the message, it's not the problem of the child, it's the problem of the parents, that they are not secure enough in giving over that message. They are not calm and secure. You have to be very calm and secure, and that's it. No discussion. There's no discussion, you know? And then the children are going along with that. That's normally what happens. But this is already another issue. But I wanted only to say, first, this is very important that you understand the world of the children. For example, I had a child, the second boy, father. He was very much an active boy. Baruch Hashem, no one has ADHD in that sense, but he was very active. He loved to climb. He loved to relate to people. He was a very vivid boy. He was a very cute boy. He was 2.5 years old, and he climbed up everything. So this is not so high, but I was living in Haifa. In our apartment was very high, and we had a nice for Sforim, you know, we had a thing, and he climbed that up, you know. He climbed it up like he was like a cough, you know. He climbed up trees. He climbed all different kind of things. So now you see, it's his world. And now I understand, for example, that this is not the question of chinuch. I don't have to be mechanachim. It's a good thing that he climbs, because then perhaps later on he'll climb a teusvus. Could be, you know. And when I take him over that, then I will make him a very nice and a good and a listening boy, but I will cut him off his oomph, and then when it comes to Toysvus, he doesn't make like this, he doesn't climb anything, because he says, Father told me that I have to be a nice boy, and then he doesn't do anything with himself. So I thought, okay, let him climb. But I had a very nice, tape recorder and very nice one, a very good one. And it was in this bookshelf, on a bookshelf. And now he climbs, and he kibat falls down. Now it's legitimate that you grasp the next thing to you in order not to fall down. But it was a tape recorder, you know? So he climbed up, and then it kibat fell, and the tape recorder came down. And now you see, that's a culture clash between his world and my world. So my world was, I want a tape recorder. His world was, I don't want to fall down. So in that case, he was right. I would be wrong. What would be, when I would be home and seeing that in front of my eyes, what would I do? You know? Okay? So then, you do the wrong thing. You'd blow up. That's wrong. It's wrong. No, it's wrong because you let him do that. And it's absolutely legitimate. So I had to say to Ishmael that I wasn't home at that time. But my wife was. My wife wasn't so much into music, you know. So that is not her issue. So she saw that falling down. And then when I came home, before I entered the room, she said, you know what, he climbed up the thing and you don't be Bruegges. He just crushed that and it fell down. And then I was calm. And it was the right thing to be calm. But just now, you lost your nice tape recorder, which you yourself paid for it as a bocher, and it was expensive. I don't know what the nakamishi means, you know? Mm-hmm. You know what that is? That fell down, you know? So that's expensive, huh? So, but a child is more expensive than such a thing. And it's his right. It's not my thing. But in my world, it doesn't go like this. But I have to enter his world, you see? And that wasn't the issue. I didn't educate him not climbing walls. Because that, I thought, by the age of 20, I never saw someone climbing, because it's too high up, you know, you have to climb the thing, you know. But normally you don't climb, at the age of 20, any bookshelves. So let him do that. I know it comes to your expenses. You can't judge him with your world. You see that? You can't. That's a destructive thing. It goes over the wrong message. It gives over the wrong message. I give you another dugma, an old dugma. When you have, it's all the same thing when the worlds are mixing up, you know? The world of a child. When you have a nice, perhaps you have such a nice sapa, you rather call it sapa, you call it in English, how do you call it?
Couch.
A couch, but it has to be white and from velvet, or something like this. Side, yeah? Very nice. But that has some ways how to use that, you know? So tell your children, no hands when they are dirty on this nice white thing, and no shoes on it. Good. Those are the regulations how to use that. That's for the children, no, that's for you. But now, when you give out such a thing, that now has a flavor of kibud avohim, because it's your what you tell them. Yeah? And now see what happens. Now the way you come as a visit, your brother-in-law comes from Chutzlaretz, and your uncle, you know, comes from Chutzlaretz for Shabbos, and then these uncles have always this glorious idea to give a present to small children, a coated wafer. You know what that is? That's brown outside, and this brown outside afterwards smears off the face and the hand and everywhere on the child. It's all full with chocolate afterwards. That's a good idea to give a matona for a child, but that's what you give. Yeah? It's a very good idea. And then your uncle comes and gives that to the children, and the children won't immediately have this wafer. And then you say, no, we have that for Shabbos, and I'll give it to you after Hadlokas Neiros, the Kovod Shabbos. Very nice. You want to be Mechabed Shabbos? And now you open up that wafer and give that to the child, and the child eats it, and it's all brown, and Miroib Simcha forgets the Horaot Shibush of the Sapa, goes there, two hands on this white sapa, and you have two brown hands over in your sapa the whole Shabbos, because you can't take it off. And after lighting the candles, that you can ask the rabbi, after lighting the candles, the mother was Makabel Shabbos, that's it. Finished. and your uncle will come and see that you can't educate your children. That's right? And it's against the rules. What do? You hit your child. What is the message which gets over? What do you educate your children for with that? It's your world, it's your sapa, it's your being ashamed of your uncle. That's your world. The world of the child was a world of enjoyment, a world of Shabbos, a world that it got something for Shabbos, and was so good and so tasty, so forgot the Horaot Shimush, forgot the user's handbook. But it was his world. In your world, it happened a disaster, it's a shame, and it's against your rules. And now you hit him. What comes over? Comes over that the nice couch is more important than Shabbos. You want to educate for that? There's someone here which wants to educate for that. But that's what you're educating for. That's the culture clash between your world and the world of the child. It's the same thing as the Nakamishi coming off, you know? It is my world a disaster. By his world, absolutely the right thing to do. 100% the right thing to do. Because you don't fall down, you grasp the next thing. For the children, the child's world is absolutely the right thing to do. They have a simcha with a matone of the uncle, and that's such a big simcha that you may forget the user's handbook. That's absolutely legitimate in the child's world. But in your not. Because you are ashamed, and it's a transgression of this unbelievable kibud ha-moed, because it was your rule, you know. And then the wrong education comes over. You see? Yeah, was he?
So you're obviously not going to hit the child, but is there another response that you take?
You don't buy a white sapa when you have small children. That's the point. Very simple. You buy a sapa which you can't put your hands there and you don't see it. You know? That's a normal thing which you do. But you know, you don't do it. I know that. You don't do it. Why? Because in my world, a nice salon has this and this ingredient. You want to put your world on the head of the children. And then you want to educate them with your world. And that's a culture clash which you can't avoid, that there are wrong messages going over. The only message you can go over is keep it away. And that's a tricky message. You see now the picture? You see it the way it goes? You have to understand the world of the child. And when you want to educate him, you have to educate the child. And you educate the child means you understand what's going on by him and you create the world according to him. It's not that you are thinking that's the biggest thing, his world. It's only that you are able to influence his world where he is, not where you are in your world. Clear? That's what it is. There was it.
Shouldn't the child have a consideration of the parents?
That's right. But this is what I said. Perhaps I have a flaw in kibud ha-moed, but you can't go on that horse only. Because it's a dangerous horse, because you will make your midas and your preferences the first in your children's education, and they can't grasp that. The child doesn't understand that you are ashamed of your uncle. The child doesn't understand that. Yeah? Doesn't understand big you, for example, in your world, you understand big consequences, long-term consequences. The child doesn't understand that. Yeah? A lot of times, for example, at this children's education, the world of the child, you have to understand that the world of the child is a very short world. The child doesn't relate for a long-term consequence. The child doesn't understand that. So when you educate with a long-term cheshbon, you educate with a thing the child can't grasp, or you grasp it. And you educate the wrong thing. You have to understand the world of children. Yeah? You have to go into that. A child doesn't understand that because he wasn't behaving well in the suda, now he can't come for a tiyul. What is the connection? in the child's words that's not connected, and he made a mistake by the Sude Gesundigkeit, but then afterwards you are simply Achzer. Yeah? The child understands that there is something against him without any connection. Yeah? Because in the child's world that's not connected. In your world it's connected. Why? Because you told him. I told him, Rabbi, I told him, when you won't eat the soup, you will not come after an hour of the whole Sude, after 2 hours, you won't come for outside. I told him. Yeah, but the child is 5 years old. And his span of connecting things is very short. And you can't do it. And you don't understand the world of the children. So you see, you have to understand the world of the child in order to educate him for certain principles. Yeah, was he?
You say that the reason that you give for the child mustn't be because I said so. That you have to explain why you don't want it. Because it feels to me, I'm just like imagining a child like that. If you allow him to climb on your bookshelf and put his hands all over your couch, you're not going to be invited out much because you're going to climb on everybody else's furniture and climb on their things and leave their place. There is value in appreciating that there's possessions which need to be looked after. There's certain things we don't do, but the reason why you tell him not to put your hand is not because I said so, but because we don't do that. There's a comment of things which are
could be. That could be. So, okay, looking after possessions, it depends what. Look, this is also a thing which it's a little bit strange to me. That's why I didn't do it. It's right, we were not invited so much out, you know. yes, I will not tell you. I told someone once that my children are very vivid children. And he said, you have only daughters, and daughters are much easier than sons. And then I told him, okay, you'll see I'll come with my daughters to you. You will not invite me anymore. You know? So, now never mind. But it is, by me, it's a very strange thing happening in your world. And I didn't want my children to have that. I did not want. And that's why, perhaps, this is also a personal thing. I'm afraid that items are dominating my world. For example, when you buy a new car, I have a proposal for car dealers. When you sell a car, before you give over the keys, take the key and make such a scratch for the front till the end. Make one big scratch. That will solve a lot of problems. A lot. Because then your nice car is not gaining guidance over your life. Yeah? I hate that. I have a nice watch. It's not this one. I have a nice watch. I got it from my father. It's a IWC. You know what IWC is? International IWC Schaffhausen. You know, that costs a lot of money. It's a golden watch. It's a nice one. And when my father was in his last weeks, I was metabol him in the hospital, and the hospital is a bed which is from iron. But I thought I want to be mechabed my father in the last time I'm with him. So I was wearing the watch, the nice golden watch that covered my father. But dealing with this whole thing, that nice golden watch got that putch, you know, in the thing. It got the, you know, the gold got the Dell, you know. I saw that the Dell or something like this. A dent. Got a dent. With the nice gold. So now it's worth half. It was worth around $10,000, and now it's around $5,000. Very nice. So people tell me, oh, that's mama, such a pity. No. I used that watch, recovered my father, and that's what it is. I'm happy he got this dent. I'm happy with that. I used it. It's serving me. I don't serve watches, you know. And a lot of people, they serve their things, you know. They are ruling their life. I once bought, when you are a nice husband, you buy a present for your wife. What do you buy? No. You buy a holiday coat. For course, because that's what you will use. You know? That's what you buy a present for your wife. You know? You buy a color necklace because I didn't use it. Okay? So I went to my ashorim and I bought a nice color necklace which was very expensive. And I was there by the seller, and then the seller told me that such a nice thing, people even don't use it for their colors. They put it on the wall. I looked at her like bewildered. I said, I know how to use such things. And then there will be a stain of wine on this chaledekel. That is part of the beauty of that chaledekel. Because I used it. And I was very afraid that items will rule my children. No, they won't. We use them for our lives. I don't live for the items. The items are there for me, you know. I use them. And when they get broken, Gesundheit, well, that's what it is. And a lot of people, I sign to you, when you are walking around in South Africa, there are a lot of people which they bend in front of their items. And they are under pressure from the car, they're under pressure from the walls, they're under pressure. No, we don't. Those are things to use, you know. That's again a thing which is a personal preference. I know people which have other preference, and then they are invited more. That's right. And they're invited more.
Once you bought your wife a chaledek for a present, yeah. I just want one question. How long didn't she speak to you?
She speaks to me all the time, you know. No, okay, never mind. Okay, fine. But I think it's a very clear thing that you have to understand the world of your child in order to educate them. And it's a clash between your world and the world of your child. Because your world is built entirely different than the world of your child. And you have to understand that. This has to be different, and the different children are different. And then, when you are giving over education, you educate to certain principles. That is like what I try to do, for example, not to diminish anyone, or it is not to govern, yeah? Not to govern, that's a similar thing, you know? You don't tamper with other items, you don't wake up someone. These Benodim al-Chaveiroi were very strong messages by us. It came from a personal thing. You have a little bit to sit down together and think, what are the things you want to educate to? Those are things you want to educate, and then you educate according to the age of the child. And you can begin very young. That you can begin very, very young to educate to midas, to seeds which will grow with them. Yeah? Very young. That's first. Good.
I think he was also asking, correct me if I'm wrong, is there not an element sometimes with children that you tell them, daddy or mommy says so, and therefore we got...
Of course, there is something like this. That, okay, let's put that now. There is a certain thing of kibud av ohem, of firmness, which I want to explain how to do that. Okay? And this is a second point in education, which is a very important point for you, because you need to be authoritative at home. Your child, you can't educate without authority. But authority is not your strength. Authority is your firmness. Yeah? And now, you have to understand. It's a bit of your words now. Your authority is not there because you are right. Yes? Do you understand that? When I have to be right in front of my child, I'm not the authority. Because being right means I need the validation of the child. Understand what I mean? When I speak to you, and I have to have that you understand me, I am not an authority. Yeah? I'm not an authority. I am right. I am tzaddik. And being right means that you are masking with that I'm right. I will explain it to you. The klal is, as a parent, when you want to have an authority, don't explain. You don't have to explain. But what you have to do, you have to be firm. I give you a dugma for my daughter. My wife, when she goes to buy, she went to buy in the super, and my daughter was living next to it. So she comes to a visit to my daughter in Ramot. And when she came to a visit, the way Safta do, you bring something with. No, you buy in the supermarket another with yogurt or something like this, and you bring it with. So she bought a few, I don't know whether they have it over here, you have a yogurt, and next to it you have like chocolate-coated cornflakes, which you can't put in, you can pour it in. It's like two parts, and then you pour it in, yeah? That's what you have. So she bought a few of them, and brought it to my daughter. Now my daughter had a four-year-old boy. His four-year-old boy, he understood how to use that, and he wanted to pour that in. And my daughter told him, no, don't do it, you won't like it, I know you, he won't like it. But he was a chevraman. I said, I want to use it the way you use that, you know, that's, I have to use it according to the, so you make like this, so he turned it over, put it in, made it, and ate one spoon or half a spoon, put it away, he didn't like it. My daughter told him to eat it separately, eat the yogurt and the coated thing, that's good, but together you won't eat it. He didn't. And now he walks and sees on the counter another few like this, because my wife bought for all of them, there are a lot of children there, and he sees another few. And now he goes and says, may I have the other one? So what do you do now? Now he begins to explain. He says, no, you ate already yours, and it's not fair, and Safta only bought 6 or 5, I don't know how many she bought, and it's not fair, and you ate yours, and I told you, and you destroyed yourself. That's very good education, that's an excellent education. No, that's very bad education. That's very bad. You don't have to go into a discussion at all. So my daughter looked at the boy, and looked at that thing, and she said, that's for Imam, and took it away. That's authority. No, it's between Imam. Come on. Finita la commedia. There's no dispute. It's not for you. Perfect. Finish. That's being authoritative without being tzodek. You have to find the way. It's a disaster when you don't find that way. You have to find a way how to be authority by your children, not because you are right, only because there is an authority. It's a very basic ingredient in your children. Otherwise your children will feel insecure. You think it's a better education when you explain everything. No, you don't explain with that. You don't explain with that. You don't do it with the patch. You don't do it with the words. You do it with your presence. And you are firm. That is that you are not afraid. You see, you're not afraid. You simply take it and say, it's for mother. And finish. There's no discussion anymore. There's finish the discussion. Nothing. Eh? So that means being an authority. When you want to educate to that, Abba Vehme told you, it's not so much told you. It is a presence of authority. That's the way you do it. And you have to do that to the children. That is perhaps the backbone of your educating for kids without Vehme. You ever see this?
Well, why does Abba Thomas always say why?
What?
You could be authoritative. Always
want an
answer why.
Or
you're supposed to say, that's just it.
It's a question why. It's a question why he asks always why, you know? Why? So, it, once in a while, it is because the avira at home is an avira of explaining, of verbal. It's a verbal avira. And in a certain way, you have to leave that a little bit. Don't be too verbal. Don't be too much into that you explain too many things. No, you don't explain so much. That's the way you do it in public, you know. It's finished. It is an important thing for your children that they have that. That you are an authority without explanation. That's the backbone of your kid without way, yeah? You're an authority without explanation, not because. So when he always asks why, once in a while you explain, once in a while you say, that's it, you know. But there is a question when a child always asks why. It's a little bit a question on the avira at home. Why does he do that the whole time? Because he should be able to accept that there is a mother there which has a certain way, and that's it. So that would have to be dealt. I would have to go into that thinking deeper in a personal way. I don't know.
There's a stage where children just ask why, even at whatever age or something.
How old? What, 4 or 5 hackers? They ask why the whole time. It could be that's a kufa. I don't know. When then to explain only.
No.
Look. Perhaps this is. I don't know how to relate to that. I don't remember. This I don't remember. I don't remember by my grandchildren. But I want to tell you a thing about children questioning you. That's a big thing in education. That's also for the more adult. When your child asks you a question, he does not think what you think. Clear? And a lot of times you hear a question and you hear a major question. And it's not. It's a very simple question. It's a lot of times questions of children are much simpler than the parents hear them. Especially in adolescent children, parents come to me and say, my child is a big philosopher. He asks very deep questions. No, he doesn't. No, it's what you hear is very deep. But he doesn't think what you think. A lot of parents think their children are the uppermost genius with such a profound question. No, that's what you hear. But he didn't think like this. It's a similar thing, you know? That you are projecting your own world and your own problems on the child. For example, by adolescents, that's a very tricky point. Because adolescent children will have questions of all different kinds of uncomfortable topics. And then you are out of your comfort zone. But it's only because you hear the question the way you as an adult are living this thing. But he asks a very simple question. You have to, in a certain way, you have to work against what you think he asks. You have to make it more simple, because that's healthier. Because then you have a simple answer and the thing is good. You not always can do that, but to keep things simple it's a very important thing. Because a lot of times you hear questions in a much more profound way than the child itself posed. Because child is a very simple place, yeah? That is, especially also by older children, when they are 11, 12, and you have to speak with them about all different kind of things, you have to keep that in a very simple way, yeah? In a very simple way. And it depends exactly only on one thing, how calm you are. It's in only that. Yeah? People once in a while are with these issues which come up by adolescents. They are themselves very much uncomfortable, and then you can't answer, and then you can't speak, and it's your own self-work. I spoke with the boys, with the girls, my wife spoke, but I spoke with the girls, with the boys, about these things, and it was very calm, and it was very good, only once. And this calmness went further, and according, you know, you think I'm not so 100%, but I, you know, you went, before you make chassan, you have a chosn shmuz. I had a chosn shmuz with my own boys and with my own son-in-laws, all of them. I did it myself. I didn't send to anyone. I did that myself. But it was a straight consequence of me being calm with that. I was very calm with that. It's a very calm thing. So then I can speak that out. But when you feel, then it doesn't go. You can't speak. You can't relate, you can't speak, because you did not work yourself on this issue. Then you can't be calm with that issue. Clear? Yeah? So a lot of times, these people, you can be very calm and can be very simple with the children. It depends how calm you are with all these issues. Yeah? That's the other thing. You go further on, you can see, you can walk out, you know. I know the South Africans are early people. They don't like to be up late. That's right? Correct?
Let's say Shabbos, we make an exception.
What's Shabbos an exception? Please, feel free that you can go, you know. I'm not here to make you uncomfortable. What?
I can't go anyway.
You can't go, okay. I can't go anyway either, you know. So we both
are respectful.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
above our picture?
What says?
Would you have to explain why?
Addressing a child in his intellect is beginning perhaps at the age 9, 10. But after Bar Mitzvah, it's much more like this. Yeah, that you speak with him in an understanding way.
Are you allowed to say because
of that? Of course, of course. But then you make that less. You make it less because it makes less and less sense. You can't stress that so much. But explaining things by the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, and then further more and more, yeah? But it's a healthy thing, you know. And again, don't feel insecure and don't feel obligated to speak things. Very simple. Children are living in a very simple world, and you can speak out things in a very simple way. Yeah? Okay? Yeah.
At the beginning, Rabbi Lofty, you spoke about the delaying gratification, teaching a child how to delay gratification. But can you give a few examples of how do you teach young children how to delay gratification? I mean,
the question is, for example, how you give out challah, or how you give out soup, Shabbos. That's a classical delay of gratification. Yeah? A child wants first, or wants to be first. And out of some reasons which are not clear to me, that you give out the challah according to the age, which that's exactly against delay of gratification. Yeah? You would have to give the challah first to the youngest, because he's the least skilled in delaying gratification. You have to begin there. But every mishpoch I know, they give out according to the age, that's right? The older first, and then the younger. So that's a big education of delay of gratification. That's a big thing. You see, but this big thing is not that you speak it out. It's a way of behavior. That's the way we do it. You don't explain it. You don't say, I want to educate you that you wait with your challah. Wait for Shabbos. It will be a very pleasant experience. You don't say it. You just do it. Just do that. And the child is able to wait. Yeah? And it waits for the challah. That's a big thing of delay of gratification by a normal family. That's what it is. Yeah? That's what it is. It is by food. It is by the mother coming when she's in the middle of speaking with someone. Yeah? I saw children which are nearly impossible to do that. Because they come and the mother speaks with someone. It depends on the length of the discussion the mother has. Never-ending discussion. But normally, when you have simply something to do, and the child comes and it's a question of delay of gratification, which you have to educate to. Because there is the mother. And again, it's a question of firmness. It's not a question of screaming, and not a question of explanation. It's a question of firmness. I am now with someone else. Wait. And then that's it. You know? And that's it. Firm. Calm. And not being terrorized by the child, because you are terrified. Be truthful. You are terrified. You now think there is a disaster waiting behind the door. And then the disaster waits behind the door. But when you will be calm and you will be firm, that will be go over. No, we wait. But then, when you do it in that way, you have to be you have to be erlach. Again, that has to do with that. You have to be erlach with that, that after which you do speak to the child. Yeah? And it has to be in a time frame the child understands that you went to him. A mother can't say to the child, I am now in the middle, I will later speak to you, and the discussion goes for half an hour. Because again, the child is not able to relate what he asked. Relate to him, and half an hour, that's too long. But when it says a few sentences, and a few sentences is very important, that you finish your sentences and you speak out, but in a time frame which is matim for the child. Yeah? In a time frame which is matim for the child, you have to understand. 5 years old, 6 years old, more than a minute doesn't go over, you know? It's a long time. So you are really makatzel, and a minute, and then you turn to the child, and then you could turn back. But it has to be a delay of gratification, because you are in the middle of a discussion or something like this. I'm now also. But a lot of times, there too, you are judging that with your own world, and you are in the middle of a phone call which takes an hour, And then you come to the child, hello, you asked me something. I want now to speak with you what I promised you. That's nonsense. That's your world. His world is a long time gone, you know? A long time. So you have, when you want to educate for that, you have to do it in a way that he sees that you do it afterwards. But then that's a delay of gratification with you, with food, with other things which are there. That's a very important thing, yeah? Okay? Good. So that, those are the bedtime, the two issues. Yeah, was it?
From what age do you start?
2, 3, you could do it. 2 or 3.
A 2-year-old, if you film with them, they're not going to...
What?
A 2-year-old, if you film with them, they're not going to be quiet.
Ah, yeah, okay. So by a 2-year-old, it's a different thing. Then you affirm with your hands, but not this. Or you put the hand away. And then it screams, but you have to be firm with your hand, or you
it
take him away.
Scream.
It will scream not too long. No. You have to take him away. That's what you do normally. You take him away for a thing you don't want him to do. You take him away and you take him away and you do make him another activity, do something else with him. Once it doesn't go, so then you go recording. Then once you can't educate him that age, that could be. I had children which were not so much educating, which was much more because of one of the children was very much into that trying all of the electric appliance trying out, and literally that guy was climbing on the counter and took down the mixer that was very heavy, it was very small, and took the mixer down like this, put it on the floor, put it in the thing, and began to that was a little bit dangerous, you know, but. Aha! So he wasn't punished for that, but next time the mixer was in another place, he couldn't reach it. Yeah? For example, that's only because of firm. I don't know how it goes in South Africa, but when you have children, and it's boys, girls too, once in a while, when you have a little bit more children at home, always or more, a lot of times, one of them takes money. It's a lot of time happening. Yeah? Don't be afraid of that. One of your children is taking money when you're away and going. Over here you can't just walk to the store because it's South Africa, so perhaps that's not so shriach. But in El Sol, that's a very shriachic thing, that a child takes money and goes to the store and buys some chocolate or something like this. That's a normal thing. So how do you deal with that? You explain, you punish? No, you put the money away. The first thing in such things that there is no money around. The klal gadol, there's no money around. When you have a problem with children with that, it's not you educate them and say, Adarabe, this is the unbelievable chokhmah. Adarabe, you leave money and you expose him to the disoyen and he has to overcome it. Omen, keini rotz. No. No. No, there is no money available. There's no money. And when a child has a problem with electrical appliance or things like this, there's no electrical appliance, what shall I do? And then again, it's your world. And once in a while, your world, you can't really make your world according to that what the child lives in. So, example, children have a kick and take off the orchidea, though. That's very nice, wasn't there? And it's flowers. And when your children will take off the... pick up these things, that will be not such a good idea, yes? So, but then that's your world, and that's a thing, then you could say, no, we don't touch that. Yeah. That could be, that's right. Yeah? So this is the other way, it's flexible, not everything you take out, yeah?
Do we use that same flexibility as kibbutz ha'aim? Is there a certain firmness because that's what the Torah says, and these are the mitzvahs, saying a bracha, etc.
The chinuch for tefillah has to come in a very soft way without demand, nearly. Tefillah and brachas. It has to be with your own dugma. Not schlepping them to, I don't know how this over here goes it's another culture over here. But in El Sol, for example, the Horah is, you are not forcing tefillah at all. At all. At all not forcing. But you go to daven. Huh? And then the child will come with you. Yeah? But you don't force that. You are not forcing tefillah. This God I heard from the Mashgiach, and I did myself, I did not force tefillah at all. Yeah? And it was a very uncomfortable situation for a Mashgiach in yeshiva, which all the other boys are standing there and saying so nicely, Omeinei Shmei Rabo, and my children are playing football out of the window, and you hear them, and then all of the congregation thinks that, you know, the children of the Sandlar, of the go barefoot, you know, so that he claims to be a Machanech, but his children are really not educated. That was a little bit harsh to survive, but I tried to survive that, and my children done unbelievable nicely. Now,
is that not giving them an easy way out? Is that not giving them an easy way out? Tefillah is something that a kid's going to have to do at the end of the day. When he turns bar mitzvah, he's going to have to daven three times a day. But if he's growing,
when his bar mitzvah has daven three times a day, you know, for me. You should. What do you do with a child who sleeps over Krishma? Zman Krishma. You know, Ben Azmanim comes home and he sleeps till 11, 12. What's that? What do you do then? You make a fight? You make a fight? Don't make a fight. Don't. Do not. Don't. Don't. It is disastrous. I know that it is disastrous and it goes down and you can't swallow that. I myself had to learn that. By me, someone gets up from the bed 9 o'clock in the morning. That's called that. It is that. That's the. It's the ceiling. You know, after nine, how can you sleep after nine? But I learned from my children that you can't sleep definitely after nine. And definitely after nine, and even by the girls. I know the girls too. That they definitely after one. You know, I couldn't understand that, but I had to learn it, and I had to go along, and it was okay. I didn't the tefillah not. Other mitzvahs. Okay. The Shmirah is very much a question of a culture at home, a behavior at home. Shmirah Shabbos, yeah. Shmirah Shabbos. When you have a problem with Shmirah Shabbos, there is something in the avirah at home wrong because you don't go and switch light on because you just don't do it, you know, and you don't what shall you do there? So Shmirah Shabbos in the Balabatish way is very much there normally. Shmirah Shabbos, for example, but you say Hilchos Loshon Hora, things like this. When you will force that, you'll force the wrong thing down the throat, you know. No, but you educate that you speak positively about others, you give a dugma, but you don't come and say. No, that goes no over, you know. It's a question of dukma, yeah?
What's the rabbi's views of incentivizing children?
Of
incentivizing children, to say.
I don't know what that means.
If you do this, we'll reward you with
reward. I didn't educate like this. I was not doing that. But others do that. And I don't tell you that it's the wrong way to do it. I myself did not do that. Because I tried once. I tried once because my children had to go and get up 6 o'clock in the morning in order to go for the hasa, for the carpool, like for the bus. So I made a big sheet, you know, in the summertime. By us in El Sol, you change the clock. Over here, you don't do that. Yeah? In the summer, you change the clock, so it's really early. It's really early to get up, you know, 6 o'clock. So I made signs that you will get rewarded. And the children simply didn't, that wasn't interesting for them. It was not, they were more into that, we do that, and that's it, you know. I didn't, when I had a problem with a child to reward, I didn't do that. I don't know how to do that. That's a personal thing. I know that other people are very much use that tool. I didn't. That came then out, for example, that one of my children, Yeshivas Ben Azmanim, they pay. I don't know how they do it over here. When you go Yeshivas Ben Azmanim, you can't earn money. So I had a boy which was every year she was by Nazar in there all the time, and it was the biggest masmit, and he forgot to take the money. He just forgot it. And it's very healthy. That was very healthy. But it came from that I didn't educate it with this reward, so it was simply not interesting. He thought about it, I will take the money. But in the end of the day, he forgot to go to take the money. They still owe him, you know, he's now already 35, you know, so they owe still money, you know. What shall I do? But I didn't do it, so I don't know, I can't know it. We will, you want to finish now?
I'm relaxed.
You are relaxed? Okay.
I'm not in the hot seat.
The hot seat is this one? No, okay, no, okay. And yeah, was he? Or whatever, yeah.
My son wakes me, yes, scenario, my son wakes me up at 2 in the morning. He wakes up, he's bored, and at 2 in the morning when he comes and wakes me up to play with him. I want to educate him.
No, you want to sleep. That's too funny. I don't understand you. What did you ask?
I'm concerned that he doesn't show the feeling that he doesn't care to wake the other person up.
That has to be done. You have to find a way how to. No. It depends on the age. But when you have very young children which it's understandable that they wake up in the middle of the night, then you simply go along with the children. But when it's a child which wants to get up and wants to play, you have to tell him, no, now it's time to sleep. Perhaps you have to show him that. Perhaps there also you have to be firm. I had a child which wanted to get up early in the morning or in the middle of the night and play, and it was once or twice, but then it's finished. It was finished. It was a question of, we don't do that. For example, I give you an example. I don't know how you put your children to sleep, but it's a holy battle every single night that you put your children to sleep, you know. I have 10 children. By me, I think only one came once out of his bed. Otherwise they went to sleep and that's it. So I want to show you how that works, because it has to do with the world of the children. I want to show you how that works. Because when you put your children to bed, you now want to speak to your wife or to your friend, or you want to have time for yourself. And these children, they are driving you crazy, and you want to have them out of your vision and put them to bed, and that's it, and now you have time for yourself. Then the children will get up, because they feel that. When you put your children to bed, that's what we did, the whole home went to sleep. Virtually. But it was like a calming down of the whole home. It was not, now, go to sleep and sei gesund and be quiet and nobody like it. No, it was not. It was that my wife was saying, okay, we go to sleep, and to put them down. And then my wife was like sleeping. That means you weren't able to speak to her. Well, now it's enough. You know, I'm finished. And she was sitting there. There was no music going on. There was no cooking going on. There was nothing going on for an hour. That means the home went to sleep. And then the children go along with that. Because the world goes to sleep. It's a natural thing. But you don't want that. You want this, again, you have a clash with your world and their world. Well, they should go to sleep. And you want your good time. And then that doesn't work. And then you have problems with putting to sleep. And then you're making a quarrel out of nothing. And then it's a bad every single day. I know people which have a dysfunctional home. It's like for 1 hour or for a certain time a day, it's a dysfunctional home. That is by putting them to sleep. No! It's a functional home because the home goes to sleep. Everyone goes to sleep. There's nothing to do now. There's nothing there to do. And then they are going along with that and go to sleep. The same thing is by night. Yeah? there's nothing to do now. You know, it's boring. You have to make, for instance, your son wakes up 2 o'clock, wants to play with you. You have to make that boring, very boring, because we go to sleep. And then that message will go over. That's normally. Yeah, it's a question of playing around with that world. Yeah. What? So Shabbos, your children, I don't know when you have to put your children to sleep. Shabbos, they can fall asleep next to them. On the floor or where it is, you know. So I don't think you can put them to sleep in that sense on Shabbos. It's the same reason, because the family is up, so they are part of the family. It's something to hate. That's your thing, yeah? Yeah, Wajin.
So you all mentioned being tefillah and learning for the parents to be the dogma and the child will follow. Is there a danger that the child can come to resent davening or learning because he sees it as a competition? His time with the parent. So every time that family's on a teul, the father says, sorry, it's time to go now, I have to go to learn, I have to go to davening.
The giving over the learning from a father to a son is not the action of learning, according to my opinion. It's not that you actually learn in front of your children. It is that the children see that you enjoy Torah. And that can be done without a sefer and without a formal learning. By me, that happened very much. My children did not see me learning. Yeah, because there's nothing to see there. But they didn't see learning. They didn't see that. I wasn't sitting at home and chuckling and singing that Nigen and the Gewaldig Gurnisch. It was not there anything. They didn't see that, my children. But they saw that I'm uppermost excited because I had a new insight in something and I was looking for someone to sell my schoire, you know. And that can be that, you know, middle of the night you can't call anyone, so you call Palo Alto. I had Menachem Spira, you know him. I know Menachem Spira, Paul called him, or I called someone else, you know. I had people all over the world calling because I was excited about learning. That made them excited about learning. But then, when we were in Tuul, there was no formal learning for me going on. But once in a while, I had an insight or an einfall, and I told that to him, to someone, or to even I tell him once in a while to my wife, and there's something I can communicate. So I do that, and the children see. Learning is very important for the father, but it's not the formal thing, because that could create a clash. That can be. It shouldn't, but it could be. Don't know. Again, for my life, I don't know that, because by me, the learning went over very much as an excitement of learning, yeah? Not as a having to sit down with a sefer. Yeah? Yeah?
Maybe I suggest that. Thank you, Rabbi, most of for your time and your tremendous insight. Thank you very much. Just in the interest of logistics, maybe if the guys want to go through and take seconds for 5 minutes, and maybe the women can follow afterwards, and then perhaps we'll bench in about 10 or 15 minutes' time.
I've finished.
I think so.
Okay. Yes, I'm very happy. Very good. Good. Thank you very much for listening to me. I hopefully that was interesting for you.